edition of News Magazine, the main points.
What you're hearing now is a radio broadcast to Falkland Islanders in 1995. A woman in her early 50s has returned to the Falklands to continue to search for her son. Nearly 15 years after he disappeared, Anne Addis speaks to local media, pleading for help from anyone with any information about her only child.
I now realise, even though I've always felt that Alan didn't wander off inland, I can now see he couldn't have wandered off inland. And I find it very hard, and I can't accept that he fell off the jetty.
Royal Marine Alan Addis was just 19 when he went missing after a night out under suspicious circumstances. Although a number of arrests were made, no one was ever charged. Anne would go on searching for her son until the day she died. In this special programme, we're going to follow key moments in Anne's relentless search for her son and listen to previously unbroadcast tapes offering us a look into a mother's search for the truth. So it's 1995 and the midweek edition of the Falkland Island Broadcasting Station's news programme is broadcasting to the isolated archipelago. You're about to listen to part of Anne's interview at the time with local journalist Ian Robertson.
Do you have any ideas in your own mind what you think might have happened, Mrs. Addis?
Yes, I have ideas in my own mind of what happened, yes.
Where do you go from here? Because you came back in 1981, you were not able to go to North Arm on that occasion. You've been back this time, as you've just told us, and I suppose eventually you're going to have to return to England at some stage and go back. But where do you go from here? Will you ever come back? Will you continue to pursue this obvious, I say it was an obsession, an understandable obsession to try and find out what did happen to your son?
I have to go back to the UK, yes, but I am coming back to the Falklands. I will be returning fairly soon.
You're not giving up then, obviously.
No way.
Do you believe that one day you might, or this might be solved in some way?
I'm quite positive about it, yes.
You're quite strong about that, aren't you?
I am, yes. I believe that it will be solved. And I don't think it will be in a few years. I think it will be sooner than...
In the next 15 years, shall we say?
Certainly.
Yeah.
Only hours after Alan went missing in 1980, police were at Mrs. Addis's home informing her that he'd drowned after falling overboard. As days passed, explanations of what happened to Alan would range from getting lost on patrol to him wandering off inland. Anne would hold a deep scepticism over these reports for the rest of her life.
It might be difficult to answer this question, but during these last 15 years, do you constantly think about your son? Because I think he was your only son. He must have meant a lot to you. Do you still think a lot about him, or has time helped you, and there are times now when you don't think of him so much?
Alan's always with me. We had good memories. I've got beautiful memories. He's not very far away. I've learned, it took a lot of doing, but I have learned to live without him and to make a life for myself. If I didn't, then I wouldn't be able to keep this going as I have done, never giving up the hope.
Are there times when you perhaps think that you see him sometimes, is that it?
Oh yes, that's happened on many occasions.
Must be an awful feeling for you.
Yes, to get there and see, well, no, it's not Alan. Even though in your own heart you know it can't be, but I think it's probably stages we all go through when we lose a child that we haven't put to rest.
That's what you want to do, really, isn't it? You want to know what happened, and I think you would like...
I want Alan back in England where he belongs. I want him put to rest. I feel that he should be put to rest. He was my child. I brought him into the world, and I want to see him put to rest as he should be. As he should be.
Anne's nightmare began soon after her only son disappeared. Yet despite the desperate search, she always remained hopeful her son would be found.
I am very positive, and not just me. There's a lot of more people that are as positive as I am. It's not the end of Alan's case. It's not the end.
On the 8th of August 1980, Anne Addis received a phone call telling her that her son Alan was missing. From that day, she would spend the rest of her life searching for her son. As you can hear in the many interviews Anne's given, the death of her only son profoundly and irreversibly affected her. The trauma of losing Alan was only exacerbated by the mystery surrounding his disappearance. Worse still, during the Falklands invasion, Alan's case files were destroyed. Several rumours were circulating as to whether they were lost, perished during a fire, or were destroyed during the later war. However, it's impossible to truly know what happened to them. These large gaps in the investigation had Anne in great distress. Years earlier, she had attempted to take her own life. Anne was emotionally supported by islanders, including a man named Jock Elliott. Mr. Elliott was one of the police officers who had reopened Alan's case in the early 90s. He believed that the original search wasn't carried out thoroughly enough. Anne and Jock maintained a close personal relationship and spoke on the phone often.
Certainly would like to thank Jock and Elizabeth Elliott for putting up with me and having one of their children calling me grandma. They really have been very kind, very kind.
During her own personal investigation, Anne recorded conversations with locals or anyone who might have information about her son. Often these recordings would be made secretly without the consent of the person being interviewed. The tapes have survived the decades, although it's impossible to make out what's being said on most of them. One of the few comprehensible tapes was an undated recording of a phone call made by Anne to Jock.
Hello?
Hello? Is that Jock?
Hello?
Hello there.
You're about to hear segments from a never-before-broadcast, around about 20-minute-long phone conversation. Despite the setbacks, Anne and Jock maintained a sincere optimism that Alan would be found. Jock and his family let Anne stay with them when she visited the island, and the two struck up a genuine friendship.
So what I would say to you, Anne, is that you're coming as a visitor.
Yeah.
You'd be coming to the islands as a visitor anyway, so, I mean, you can come here any time you actually want.
But I'm not going to, as long as I'm not going to, by my appearing there, it's not going to do any damage.
I wouldn't think so. I would think that you should come sooner rather than keep you waiting all the time.
Yes.
And, I think the end of January would be a good time for you to come because of the height of the summer.
Yes.
And, or even any time after the end of January as well, because that's the right time of the year anyway.
Uh-huh.
But you can certainly come down here and be a guest of ours.
That's very, very nice of you. I do appreciate that.
I spoke to the settlement manager and his wife.
Yes.
Who are friends of ours, that's the present one.
Uh-huh.
And they will render you any assistance they can. The sooner this bloody lot is put behind us, because they said they would like to see some people getting caught for this.
That's how I feel, actually.
Yeah, and that's how they feel.
Do you think anybody ever will be?
Yeah. There are a lot of people here that actually feel like that. I'm not the only one.
No. But do you, Jock, think that they will be caught?
I remain optimistic at all times.
Yeah.
Because of the whole feelings around all this.
Yeah.
It's like Alan is still there saying, I am here.
Yeah. Would you, this professor, whoever it was, who called me back, he said that Alan went off with a man and a woman and that they was all under the influence of alcohol.
The conversation offers us some insight into Anne's search, which became increasingly more desperate, and she started pursuing more unorthodox methods of locating her son.
What he's going to do is going to ask him about a medium, and if he can't help him, he's going to ask him to put him in the right direction with somebody that's worked with the police.
Yeah, that's terrific.
So
I must have been thinking about this. Do you know something? I was just thinking about the case this morning.
You was?
Yes. I was just thinking about it, and I thought to myself, I was going through my briefcase and I saw this medium in the magazine that I saw. You won't believe this, but only an hour ago, I was talking about Alan and the fact that I know he is still here.
Yeah. He said that his, you know, they go into the spiritual thing. This guy went into the spiritual thing, and he said that his spirit is still in his body and he is losing strength.
Yeah.
He has not left his body, but he is losing strength, he said.
Multiple police investigations were launched into the suspected murder of Royal Marine Alan Addis, who went missing in the Falkland Islands on the 8th of August 1980. One striking section in a police document dated 1995 is titled Clairvoyance. Anne would seek the help of multiple psychics in the search for her son. Two mediums initially provided information to the police. Anne was convinced they were helping, although the police were less convinced. The investigator's brief contains a section on clairvoyance and reads,
"None of this was of any assistance to the inquiry, but Mrs. Addis was convinced that both of the mediums did in fact have some sort of clairvoyant ability, and she discussed this at some length with the officers in the case."
Anne refused to give up using mediums and maintained throughout that when her son was alive, she felt they had some form of telepathic ability. After the first two failed, she sought the advice of Romany Gypsy and psychic detective Nella Jones.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Is that Nella Jones?
Yes, it is.
Oh, this is Anne Addis calling from California.
Hello, Anne. I was expecting your call.
Oh, thank you. I talked to Paul last night and he said about my calling you.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, I understand you're coming to England shortly.
I am. I'll be there on the 3rd of February.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you get here...
Yes.
Now you have my telephone number. Would you give me a ring so we can arrange to meet?
Yes.
Who was the police officer that gave you my name from Falklands?
His name was Jock Elliot.
Ah, Mr. Elliot.
You know him?
Yes, I do. From SO2, I believe he is.
Pardon?
He's from SO2.
Is he? I don't...
Scotland Yard, yes.
Oh, he is he?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. He's a very, very nice man.
Oh, he's a gentleman.
Yeah, he really is. Well, I'm going out there and I'm actually staying with him and his wife and children.
I see. Okay. Now, will you make sure that you have a photograph with you of your son?
I will, yes.
And any other information that you can sort of pass on so I can work on that.
Okay, I've got a map, an air map of where he went missing.
Good, good, good.
Is that good?
Yes, that's brilliant.
Yeah. When I get back on a Friday night. When would be the best time for me to call you? On the Saturday?
Yes, on the Saturday. And we'll see if we can't arrange something for that weekend, if possible.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I know you must be very, very anxious.
I really am, yes. Yeah.
It's a mystery, is it?
It sure is, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, we'll see if we can't clear that one up for you.
Thank you very much, dear.
It's all right, my love. I'll do what I can.
Thank you. And I'll definitely call you as soon as I get back home.
All right, my love.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, I look forward to meeting you.
And you too.
All right, dear.
Bye-bye.
You take care and God bless you.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Nella was the third medium to become involved in the case. She was known in the press for assisting the police in the hunt for the Yorkshire Ripper, Peter Sutcliffe, and other high-profile cases. Although previous mediums had offered no insight into the investigation, police took Nella Jones's unscientific approach seriously and investigated her visions. The investigator's brief goes on to say,
"According to Mrs. Jones, Addis was killed with a knife in the settlement and transported to a hiding place by boat. She says that the boat headed straight out from the jetty and then turned right and was concealed in a cave which had a fissure or a blowhole in its roof and had an entrance shaped like an inverted Y, which could only be seen at low tide. She described a strong smell of rotten fish, white cliffs, a distant light, a booming sound, and the sound of many seabirds. With this information, police were able to locate a spot which fitted the description in every detail, and any remaining scepticism about the ability of the medium began to disappear."
Nella's contributions to the case ultimately came up unfruitful.
The cave has been thoroughly searched by divers and climbers, and no trace of human remains or any man-made object was found.
The use of clairvoyance ultimately did not contribute to finding Alan. Yet despite this, they did offer Anne faith that her son would be found. In her conversations to police officer Jock Elliott, she would talk frankly about other cases she believed were solved by psychics. Anne would maintain a desperate hope that one of those cases would eventually be her son's.
A young girl here in California disappeared, and it was in our area, you know, and she was only a 10, I think. And anyway, I'm just going to give you a brief thing. They found her eventually, and somebody had murdered her, etc. Anyhow, they have a foundation for her, and when I got your letter, I called the foundation to see if a medium had been involved with it, you know, and they said no, but they told me to call Berkeley University. They had somebody there who was into medium or something, so I called the university, and I spoke to this man, and he said, well, I just said that, you know, I wanted a medium, someone who worked with the police, and he asked me about the case, and I just very roughly went into things with him, and he said, can I call you back? And I said yes, and he called me back within minutes. So he said to me, well, he came out with some weird stuff, you know what I mean, and this was just over the phone. No, I wasn't paying him for anything. He said to me that Alan was half a mile from the club place.
He was what, sorry?
He said his body is half a mile from where the club is. You know, the whatever it was they went into, that building.
Right, yes.
He said his body is in with a half a mile from there. And he said it's on the shoreline, and he is buried in sand. And he said there's like a mount, a very small mount, and it's there. Anyway, I just said, oh, you know. And then he said to me... Anyway, I thanked him, and he gave me a couple of telephone numbers, and then I put the phone down, and he called me back immediately, and he said, I feel you should go out there, even if they don't find Alan's remains, because he said, I think if you go where it was, you will know yourself.
The mystery surrounding Alan's case attracted a lot of media attention, with reporters from the global media following both Anne and her son's story. One of the news outlets there from the very beginning was the British Forces Broadcasting Service.
Hello and welcome to Scene Here. The mother of a Royal Marine who went missing in the Falklands 15 years ago has returned to the islands to try to find out what happened to her son. Alan Addis was just 19 when he vanished in 1980. The police believe his disappearance may be a criminal matter, but as John Knighton reports, his mother just wants to know the truth.
This is one of the last photographs taken of Alan Addis before he went missing.
What you're listening to now is a 1995 BFBS television news package into the disappearance of Alan Addis.
I felt that there'd been foul play, and I think it was a Captain Gallagher from the SIB came over, and he went to North Arm. I believe he was only there a 1 week, but he followed up a lot of rumours. Some people said that Alan had been buried under peat, and some had said he was buried in a sheep dip, an old sheep dip. And he followed out these rumours that were going around. And when he got back, he said he felt the same as I did, but no one was prepared to change any stories.
Do you feel that with the passing of time, maybe this should be left as it is? Or, I mean, why, no, what I drives you on, Anne?
Because it's my son. And I want him home.
Alan's mother, Anne, remained convinced until the day she died that there was truth to the rumours surrounding Alan's disappearance. In this series of special podcasts, we're going to follow key moments in Anne's relentless search for her son and listen to previously unbroadcast tapes offering us a look into her mother's search for the truth. In this fourth episode, we listen to one of Anne's last interviews before she died. The interview you're about to hear is from 2011. You can hear a weary Anne who, although she was coming to the end of her search for Alan, was determined to keep fighting on. She would die from cancer shortly after this interview and speaks to BFBS presenter John Knighton.
Eventually something will come up and I'll know what happened. And I have to know what happened. It's very
He will. I'll put him to rest where he should be.
Which is right here, obviously.
And that's here, yes.
Part of your, obviously so much of your life has been spent in trying to find out what happened to Alan, and many unfortunate things have happened and sad things have happened to you. But you've also written a book, haven't you? You wrote a book to chronicle what happened, and it was called...
Missing on Patrol.
Missing on Patrol.
Yeah.
And in writing that, did that help you, yourself, in your dealing with how you felt?
Yes. Apart from the fact I did put myself in therapy because I found it very, very, very hard to live without Alan at the very beginning. It was very difficult. And by writing the book and just putting what I felt, it helped me. It was really like a healing thing for myself.
To get down on paper, really, all your thoughts and chronicle all of the feelings that you had at the time.
Yeah, and the things that went wrong, what could have been done right, done it in a different way. Yeah.
And you also set up a memorial fund for Alan in 1999, didn't you?
I did.
And now you decided to give the total from that fund to Help for Heroes. Why have you done that?
I've done it because I'm getting old. And the last few years, I haven't had a really good health, even though I now know that I'm fine, I'm going to be fine. And I'd rather the money had gone to helping the heroes that are coming back, and I think Alan would have wanted that too. He was a Royal Marine, and I'm sure there's boys coming back and men coming back from there that need help too.
But is this any way the fact that you decided to draw your searchings to an end, though?
No. No, I'll never draw an end. Alan will come home, and Alan will be put to rest. And I still believe it'll be in my day.
It's clearly something that...
something there, and I know that Alan will come home.
There are people... in the Falklands, we know there have arrests that have been made. Obviously, charges have never been brought, but there are people down there who know what happened on that day in August 1980. And there may well now be people here in Britain, in mainland Britain, also who know. What if they could see this interview? What would you want to say to them now?
For the people that have probably, I would imagine still for the people in the Falkland Islands, for somebody to come out and start speaking now, I would imagine they have a little fear of what might happen to them or their families. For people that have left the Falkland Islands and that are living in the UK or somewhere else, I think they've had time to really stop and start thinking, because they're probably getting grown-up families and grandchildren themselves, and they've probably discussed it amongst themselves, the families, and I think it will come out from somebody who is away from the Falkland Islands. I don't believe that anybody set out to murder Alan. I believe that something happened that went wrong, dreadfully wrong. Fight, it could have been a number of things, and if it had been put right immediately, it would have all been finished and over with now. But they didn't, they kept it to themselves. But I believe it will come out.
And the resulting 30 years have been a terrible time for you. I'd imagine that there have been times over that 30 years when you've been pretty desperate.
The very, very beginning, yes. Very, very, very desperate, actually. But I just learnt that it would come out. It had to come out. It has to. I don't care who they are, nobody just disappears. They're somewhere, and somebody has to find them. And for all them poor children that are out there now and people, one day, I firmly believe they will be found too. That something will happen and it'll be, oh, and they'll find out who it is and who it was.
And there'll finally be closure.
And there'll be a closure.
Which is all you've ever wanted, isn't it?
And that's all I want, is a closure. I don't want revenge. What's happened has happened. There's too many years gone by. And I don't want revenge. I want my son. I want him put to rest.
Reporter John Knighton first spoke with Anne the second time she came to the Falkland Islands to search for Alan in 1995. He kept in contact with her on and off until she died. John spoke to me about reporting on the case and his first meeting with Anne.
She didn't particularly want justice. She didn't want people brought to account or brought to book. She just wanted to know where her son was, because any parent would feel like that if they have lost a child who's gone missing. And there are a lot of missing people around, very sadly. There are a lot of parents out there who don't know where their children are. And this is terribly sad. And, of course, you know, he went missing in quite difficult circumstances, in circumstances which we don't really know the full story about. But Anne was down there. She'd made several visits before to the Falklands to try and find out from the local people what they knew and where she might be able to find if there was a body. You know, I think she was quite prepared for the fact that Alan had died, but she wanted to know where he was. But all I know was this, you know, very dignified, a lovely person, but completely racked by the loss of her son and really wanting to know where he was so she could actually bring closure on it. I think collectively the Falkland Islands would love to bring this to a close, and they've wanted to for a long time. But there are maybe elements there that don't want this story to keep being brought up, because it's something that happened. It's maybe things that people regret. I don't know. So it's very difficult to comment about what the Falkland Islanders really think. You'd have to talk to them really about that. But all I know is that over the years, there have been so many different investigations that have happened, some involving high technology. But at the end of the day, it remains a mystery. And because of that, there are an awful lot of theories that are kicking around. If you go and sit in any pub in Stanley, this subject might crop up occasionally, and there will be various theories about what happened to Marine Alan Addis. I mean, I suppose it's a bit of a stain on the community down there. It's a bit of a shadow that's been cast over the Falklands. And also, in a way, and this is a personal view, it's rather a shadow cast over the Royal Marines, because the Royal Marines is a family. If you become a Royal Marine and you get your Green Beret, you become part of that family. And when Alan Addis went missing in 1980 and his body was never found, then that remains, you know, an unclosed book, you know, and there's a story there that does need telling.
Do you think personally that that's a shadow that's ever going to disappear?
Probably not. The tragedy, of course, is that Anne went to her grave and she very sadly died of cancer just a few years after I did the last interview with her in 2010, which is, you know, 8 years ago now. This story has been, you know, floating around the media for many, many years, and you go on all sorts of websites and you can go back and you can see exactly what's been done and the attempts that have been made to try and find out what happened to Alan. But now Anne is no longer here with us. And I have to tell you that, you know, this caused a lot of desperation with Anne. She tried to commit suicide several times because the whole thing just ate her up over so many years. Can you imagine from the year, you know, from being told in 1980 that her son had gone missing, and the body had never been found, just wanting to know what had happened to him, which any parent would want to do. So from that point of view, it's tragic, and possibly we will never know the answer.
You can hear more of John's interviews with Anne in the fourth episode of this podcast. Another producer who's been trying to uncover the mystery surrounding Alan's disappearance is Martina Andretta, who is behind the upcoming television documentary, What Happened to Marine Addis. She spoke to me about uncovering the mysteries behind the case.
So when I first started looking at the story, we were actually covering the case of missing Corey McKeague, who went missing about 2 years ago, I think now. So around that story, we were just researching and we just wondered how many more serving personnel could be missing that we don't know about. And we started researching into our archive until we found the story of Alan Addis. And we just thought, what happened to him? Has anything else been said since, you know, since 1980? What's the coverage been like? And we found our reports from the time, which we didn't even know we had. And from there, we just, you know, started looking at everything and all the investigations and contacted the family and just done it from scratch, really.
So obviously there were a lot of twists and turns to this case. Do you feel like Anne was getting closer to an answer? Do you feel like she was on the right track, or was it, is it really one of these things that's going to be a mystery forever?
I think she got close. I mean, of course, I don't know what happened, and for me, it's hard to say. I think she was right to have some suspicions, and she was right to ask for more answers from the police and from the Royal Marines. I think it was really hard to say for her what was real and what wasn't, because she was so emotionally involved with the case that sometimes I think maybe she lost sight of, you know, who to trust and who to follow. So that's where it got difficult. But to be fair, speaking to other people that were involved in the search as investigators or as local of the Falkland Islands, they had the same issue too. They were struggling to distinguish from the rumours to the actual, you know, real hard facts. So if you imagine that's hard for anyone, imagine for her who's emotionally involved and who's suffering, how difficult it must have been for her.
Despite her tireless search, Anne never found the answer she was looking for. More than 30 years of her life were consumed by the search for any information that would lead to Alan. The mystery of what happened to Royal Marine Alan Addis remains unsolved to this day. Anne's book Missing on Patrol was published in 2003. It ends with a plea from Anne to a hypothetical killer who she believed could have taken her son's life. I have yearned for my son for over 22 years. I know I cannot have him, so the best thing would be to know the truth about his final hours on this earth and know where he has lain all this time. I would love to bring him home. Surely this is every mother's right. I would like to make one final plea to Mr. X, or anyone else out there who has any information that could lead to Alan being found, to come forward.
It's not the end.
Mr. X, please put yourself in my position and relinquish the information you have kept to yourself all these years and help me find my son. This is my story, told in my own way, about the anguish, pain and frustration and the continued feeling of being a bereaved parent who has nowhere to grieve, no place to lay flowers and talk with my beloved son. During my stormy passage over the last 22 years, different people at different times have eased my way. You all know who you are, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart. I know Alan would too.
He was my child. I brought him into the world, and I want to see him put to rest as he should be.
If you'd like to learn more about Alan's story, you can watch What Happened to Marine Addis on Forces TV and look at our in-depth interactive article at forces.net/Alan Addis. This has been a Forces Radio BFBS production.